Playing Through with Froggy and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran in the Morning Show at Froggy Radio on Twitter at Playthrough Golf as well. Here with Brian Wacker, one from Golf Digest. Brian, we got a guy on today that knows a whole lot more about golf than either one of us.
Well, that wouldn't be difficult.
No, very not much at all. His name is Tomo Bystedt. He is the senior director of product creation for TaylorMade. So if TaylorMade makes it, yeah, Tomo knows all about it, and he's a part of making it. Would that be a good description, Tomo?
Yeah, I guess you could go with that. But
so
Tomo's sounding very modest this morning.
He is, but at the same time, he's been involved with making irons for some of the greatest players in the world, whether it's Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Jason Day, Justin Rose. I mean, you've worked with some of the greatest guys in the world to make irons for them. Is it different working with each individual guy?
It is. Honestly, it's a really different process. And to be totally fair, I have not, worked with all those guys equally closely. Some of the guys I've worked with several times. Some of the guys I've only met once. In the case of Tiger, I've actually never met him at all, except for, seeing him at tournaments. But I've worked obviously on his product. So it's been different levels of interaction, but equally it's been super rewarding to see you guys, put clubs in play and winning tournaments with him.
So when you work with a guy like, say, for example, like Rory McIlroy and the Roar's proto iron that we see that he's playing.
Yeah.
Do you take a bunch of different irons to Rory and he tries those out? How does that fitting process work as far as going from taking just a standard iron that you make and then getting it to fit where he puts it in the bag and plays with it?
For somebody like Rory, for the Roar's protos, it was a process where we, because it was an interesting time of in sort of the TaylorMade brand working with him, because he was obviously looking for signing with somebody. And at the same time, I was working with a team on a new muscle back. And so, obviously we knew at some point, prior to him signing with us at the Players' Championship that, there was a possibility that he was looking, that he was going to try a bunch of different things, which he did. And you guys, I'm sure, saw him trying other brands as well. And so, part of this process was basically trying to figure out, okay, what is he like? What's he looking for in an iron? And so as we were working on these blades towards the sort of second half of that process, we worked with, I didn't work with him directly at that time yet, but I sort of looked at stuff that he'd played before. Our guys on tour had gotten some information from him. So we were able to actually steer the development of the P730s towards what Rory liked anyway. Obviously, the clubs that he ended up playing as the Roar's Protos was sort of an early prototype of the P730s. And so, that process was a little bit unique in just how the timing worked out and the feedback that we'd had. And I think if we'd had more time, if he was already on staff when we started that, maybe it would have ended up a little bit differently. You never know, right? Because we didn't have a ton of feedback from him early time, but then obviously we worked with our tour guys, and Keith spent a lot of time with him out there on tour to dial them in, and he loved him, fortunately for us, and the rest is history, as they say.
And when you're going through that process as the year plays out, Tomo, how much of a tinker is Rory versus maybe another guy? What's been your experience like, in other words, when you're working with when you work with these guys, who likes to tinker, who sort of gets set and doesn't really change much of anything throughout the year, even though they might not be playing up to their expectation?
Well, there's definitely a range of players, as you kind of intimated there. And we, in my time at TaylorMade, I've worked more closely with the guys who have been on staff for longer, like Rose and Jason, Dustin, guys like that. Sure. Rory, again, he's the only bit with us a shorter time. So I'm not super familiar with his thing. I know, obviously, in that last sort of, year or so that he's been with us, that he has been, very articulate about his equipment. He knows what he wants. He knows what he's looking for. He's great at giving feedback. We've tested some stuff with him. since he signed with us that we haven't released yet that we got some great feedback on. So that, you know, in terms of helping our development there. And he, you know, I think Rory's been really good in the sense that he's willing to try things and he's not afraid of tinkering around a little bit. But I don't think I would say he's somewhere in the middle of the kind of readiness to switch quickly gamut of players. You know, and there are other guys who will definitely be more ready to switch more quickly and will definitely be tinkering more. And I would say, you know, Rose has been that guy. Rose is extremely intelligent guy who is maybe one of the most articulate about what he's looking for and giving feedback. And so I've really enjoyed working with him a lot in terms of giving feedback. And he was instrumental in developing, you know, many of our recent players' irons, the PSI tours, you know, even going back to I remember one of my earlier ones was the RSI TPs. Mm. And then after that, as well with the P750s, and even a little bit of feedback on the P790. So there's been a lot of development with Rose, and he's been great at trying things. And he goes back and forth, too. And sometimes it's, you know, with these players, it's interesting because you kind of have a moment in time with the work of them. And you know, just so you guys are clear, like, I don't work with these guys, like, on a daily basis. I see them, you know, once or twice a year, maybe right, three times a year if I'm lucky. And that's a moment in time where we get some feedback and we spend a good deal of time. I take a lot of notes. I take a lot of mental notes as well.
Right.
And what's interesting is that, you know, in between those times, seeing what happens with their bag is kind of interesting because you're like, oh, he really loved this one. He didn't like that one. And then sure enough, like 2 months later, he plays the one that he wasn't super excited about or whatever.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know, clearly, you know, different courses, you know, they're swinging in a different place. They will still try things. And you know, a good example of that would be with Jason Day, when he, you know, he's one of the guys who is not really into switching. He gets something that he likes in the bag and kind of wants to stick with it. You know, which I totally respect. I think guys like that, you know, they clearly know what their strengths are. They know what works for them and you know, they'd rather not mess with something that's already working, which is fine. And Jason, for him, you know, our process has been to almost, before we bring him anything, we want to know that it's better for him, kind of thing, and it's really going to work for him really well. And that was really the case with the P750s. He played the RSI TPs, and he bent the loft quite a bit because he plays them really strong. And so we set, essentially his P750s are kind of pre-bent for loft, so they're kind of a little bit unique. But he basically, you know, once he got those in the bag, I was like, he's never going to switch out of these. And then sure enough, he played the P730s earlier this year, which, again, I didn't expect that to happen. He's never really been a blade guy. And so I was surprised to see that. But then I think he's now switched back to the P750s. But it just goes to show that, you know, depending on, again, where the players' games are, that they will definitely try things that maybe you don't expect.
Yeah, I've got a set of the P790s, and I love my P790s. And I see some of the guys on tour, the really long irons, like their 2 and their 3 iron or their ultimate driving iron, they're using some of the P790s. So what is the difference between, I know the 730s a blade, the 750s a muscle back, then it goes to the 770 and then the 790. What is the difference in the iron game?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. The players, you know, sometimes they, you know, small differences will kind of make or break a set in terms of, like, well, if the blade length is a little bit too big. So the way that, you know, but then occasionally they will completely go to something that you don't expect them to play. Like a 790 is a good example of an iron where it's not really designed for tour players. That's an iron designed for sort of the recreational, better player, amateur golfer who just wants a lot of distance, wants a little bit more forgiveness, but still in kind of a player's profile.
Right.
And, you know, but there's something about that recipe, you know, with how good that iron feels that, you know, pros, you know, also want that performance. And especially in the longer part of the set, that they definitely want that. So we've seen guys, and I think maybe the most extreme case would be somebody like Justin Rose, where he plays that iron, depending on the course a little bit, but he plays it sometimes down to a 5 iron in the 790s. and then does a, you know, a 6 through pitching wedge in the 730s. And the way our nomenclature works on those irons is the 730s has the shortest blade length. It's a 73 millimeter blade, essentially, up to the 790s, which is the longest blade length. So there's a pretty big difference. And the 750s, 770s obviously kind of stops along the way there, and the irons get kind of gradually more forgiving. They get gradually, you know, bigger faces, a little bit more offset. You know, it's sort of a progression that goes through the set there. So, you know, you expect people to, you know, and people do this. Like, for example, Rory plays the Royce Proto, which is, you know, very similar to the 730s. In most of his set, then he plays a 750 in his four iron. So, you know, that kind of transition kind of makes sense because those are kind of adjacent clubs, if you will.
Right. How often or how eager do you see, like, for example, and I know you've been at TaylorMade a while, so you were there through the M1 and the M2, both versions of that. Yep. And then now this year we've got the M3 and the M4 and the twist face technology, which really honestly feels like you cannot miss a fairway with the twist face. Love the new commercial that they put out. TaylorMade put out yesterday. I saw it where it's like it shows the guys that showed the direction on the tee box, the marshals, getting bored because everything's going down the middle with twist face. And that's exactly how it feels with twist face. But how eager, when you get a new club like an M3 or an M4, and you take it, for example, to a Justin Rose, or you take it to a Dustin Johnson, how eager are they to put a new club in the bag like that?
Very eager. I, you know, so it's funny, you know, as sometimes there is resistance from golfers of, like, you know, you show something new, they don't necessarily want to switch. Like the example I had with Jason, when it comes to new drivers, these guys are all over it. Trust me, they know that when we bring a new driver, it's usually once a year we do a tour shoot, and it's their first kind of sneak peek to what they're going to have in the bag that following season. And it's, you know, they can't wait to hit it. They're honestly excited to see it, first of all. And I don't know if you guys saw the kind of octagon video we did with the reveal of the twist face to our top sort of five guys or six guys, and it was just their reactions. I mean, that was like, we shot that first thing in the morning, and you saw those people, and it's so funny to see how excited they are about this. And then obviously just an hour after we shot that, they went on the range, and these guys can't wait to hit it. So the driver is one of those things. I mean, it's an iconic product for TaylorMade. You know, we've been a leader in tour and drivers for as long as I can remember, really since 2000. And it, you know, it's what we take a lot of pride in producing every year, in terms of making sure it outperforms the previous one. And obviously this year with twist face, you know, we had a really groundbreaking revelation there in terms of performance. And that was, you know, it was so fun to see their reactions, you know, hitting those first few shots. And then, you know, the way that we'd set up the kind of the shoot that day, we definitely caught some really great, you know, just spontaneous comments from these guys. That you couldn't really, I mean, these guys aren't actors. You can't really, like, get that out of them
right
just by telling them to say it. It's like it has to come naturally, especially guys like DJ, who's really kind of, he's funny, he's interesting, but he's not super comfortable, you know, kind of being in that role of being on camera. So he, you know, guys like that just did a fantastic job. And I think, you know, I think the twist face technology has really, I mean, it's changed the game for us. And honestly, you know, having recently for me moved to the Metalwood side has just raised the bar that much of, you know, what we got to deliver them going forward.
What's next? And I'm sure that you've been asked that before. So here we are, we're at M3, M4. Mm. We've got the twist face technology. We've got the hammerhead technology in the bottom of the club. Toma, where do we go from here? I mean, are we just going to keep hitting it further? Are we just trying to hit it straighter? I mean, what is the next generation of TaylorMade drivers offering for us?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, this year was definitely a year where, you know, revealing twist face and finding kind of an interesting and an effective solution to hitting the ball straighter when you miss the center of the face. I mean, that to me, when we look at, you know, the next 5 years of drivers, let's say, there are certain things that you know we're working on very diligently in terms of, we know that there's performance by exploring, you know, X, whatever it might be. And our goal is, and all the things that you said are important. I mean, a driver is not it's not a one-dimensional thing. It's about distance. It's about accuracy. It's about forgiveness. It's about trajectory. It's about playability. There's a lot of things that go into it. And, you know, we're working on all those things. But in any given year, obviously we can't make a breakthrough thing in all those categories. This year was a breakthrough technology for twist face and improving dispersion on missed hits, and we've seen that pay off on tour. I mean, we've had a ridiculous success rate on tour this year. If you come down to Taylor Made headquarters, we have a hallway in our building where we have kind of the wall of victories, and we have these little posters or pictures of every player who's won a tournament this year, and we're quickly running out of hallway space for the
right.
team.
Right, you have to build a new new building right.
yeah.
soon. Yeah,
exactly. So, but anyway, we definitely, you know, without kind of obviously revealing what we're doing for next year and beyond, you know, there's innovation in all those areas, and you know, we wish we could bring things out sooner. Some things take a long time to work on, and you know, I've been now in the Metalwood side for almost a year, actually. It's been about nine, ten months now since I actually for a while there kind of did both the iron and the Metalwood job as we were transitioning into a new irons person, but now I'm sort of full time on the Metalwoods, and it's been, you know, a really wild ride for me to kind of take over a new category. And but I can't tell you how excited I am for some of the things that we're working on and that you'll see, you know, here in the future.
Right. I heard one thing I have seen online. I've seen some rumors of that we're going to see soon before the Open Championship. There's a club. There's a new club coming out that's supposed to fit somewhere between the end of the Metalwood, like the 5-wood, and kind of replace like a long iron, but yet not a hybrid. Is there something coming out that we're going to see soon from that, man?
Yeah, so there's been, you know, shots from tour here in the last week or so. We've been testing a product out on tour, on the European tour mainly, and obviously the players are starting to get over there now with the Open Championship looming on the horizon. And without telling you too much at this stage about the product, we're doing something really different. And back to my earlier comment about, hey, we're looking for performance wherever we think it exists and in any form. And I think this is a product that's been in the works for a while. You know, when I was on the iron side, I was working on this product, and it's transitioned into my work on the Metalwood side as well. And so this is a product that's really unique. And we think that it's going to be a really interesting product for really all kinds of golfers, not just on tour, but in average players' bags as well. So it's, you know, it's something we're going to be excited about launching here pretty soon, we think that, you know, the stories that we're going to tell about this, the technologies we're going to be talking about, are going to be new and very interesting for people. And I think it's going to start a conversation. So I'm excited about it.
And that's an area, Tomo, that a lot of people, you know, especially in the amateur side, struggle with, that part of the game, the sort of long iron, that sort of area between the long iron and a metal wood. And it sounds like that this will help alleviate some of that problem. Of course, we've seen that with hybrids as well, and this sounds like this is just the next evolution, if you will, in that process. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say. To your point, you know, it's almost legendary how difficult long irons are to hit for the average golfer. Right? So that's something that we can all relate to. And you know, one of the funny things is, you know, when I talk to people about that part of the game, and as we did research around this kind of products and asking people about, you know, what kind of irons they have in the bag and what, you know, what's your longest iron, one of the funny things I hear a lot is like, oh, you know, I have a 4-iron in the bag. And I said, oh, really? Do you hit the 4-iron well? It's like, no, I use it to punch out trees. So I was like, well, that sounds about right. They're like, oh, I wouldn't hit a full shot with it, but I punch out of trees a lot with it. So,
right.
If that's really the utility of your 4-iron, it probably doesn't deserve to be in your bag.
Yeah, there's probably a better way to do it there. Yeah. And now, along those lines, is it are we seeing a similar transition even at the elite and of course professional level, where guys are starting to move in that direction as well? Because look, the game is a power game. It's one about distance. It's about bringing in high and soft, especially from those distances. So have you noticed in your time that we're seeing more players, even at the tour level, sort of progress a little bit in that direction maybe than in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at kind of where where golf clubs were, you know, 10, 15 years ago in terms of irons. You know, pretty much everybody who was on tour played, you know, blades. They played smaller forged cavity backs. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of speed or CR in those clubs, and there wasn't really any performance in them to help long irons go higher, you know. And so that's where, obviously, as hybrids came around, and, you know, and especially us, you know, so launching the Rescue, you know, we were a leader in that space, and a lot of people switched to those clubs. They put hybrids in the bag because they realized, hey, my three iron, I don't generate enough speed on my three iron to really hit it high enough to land on a tour green and stop it on the green. So there was a transition to hybrids. And I think if you look at bags today, there are less hybrids in the bag in average on tour, because the iron technology has moved forward so much. And I think, you know, one of the first things I worked on at TaylorMade was the Tour Preferred UDI. And that was a club that was really adopted really well by tour players, because that was a club that went fairly high. It was, you know, it spun a little bit. It had a lot of speed. And golfers, you know, of all levels, but mostly tour players, found it really easy to hit those clubs higher and stop them on the green. So, and then obviously since then we've developed other clubs that kind of fall in that similar space for maybe other skill levels too, you know, clubs like the M2 irons and the M4 irons and
right.
And even clubs like PSI, and obviously most recently the P790s, which, you know, so many tour players have long irons of those in the bag now.
I love my P790s. I'm telling you, it is the best iron I've ever hit, and I've had a ton of different name brand irons. I just moved from PSIs into these 790s, and they are like nothing else. They're high, they stop, and they feel amazing when you hit them.
Yeah. So, and I think honestly, I mean, well, thank you for saying that, but I think that's kind of what has really changed, you know, what's going on out there with the tour as well. And you know, they're picking up on those same things. And, you know, sometimes we like to think that tour players don't kind of need any help or they don't need any more distance. But when it comes to a three iron or a four iron, you know, even the best players in the world, you know, could use a little bit more height, could use
right.
a little bit more speed and land a little bit softer. And again, when I look at the bags of sort of our, you know, biggest names, the John Rahms, the Rose, Jason, all of those guys use a 790 type product in their long irons, basically 790 or the original UDI. So it's definitely a real thing. And I think that's, again, part of the reason why, you know, we wanted to kind of reinvent this area a little bit, this area of the golf bag, because we realized that we, you know, things have changed a lot since hybrids first came out.
Now, let me ask you this. I know we talked about the twist face and the twist face technology that's in the driver. It did not get into the three woods, five woods, and hybrids. Is there a chance moving uh-huh. forward, maybe in the onset of 2019 when the new technology comes out and the new clubs, I'm sure twist face obviously will continue in the driver head because it is working so well. Is there a chance that uh-huh. we would see it? Is it possible that it can be put into the three woods, five woods, and hybrids moving forward?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, the twist face technology, when we started working on that, there was naturally a lot of skepticism about it, because it's not necessarily super intuitive initially that it would work. But obviously, when we started seeing the data and the game nowadays in terms of figuring kind of stuff, that kind of stuff out, is really about data. You have to, you know, the data that you gather around it is really going to validate your assumptions about certain technologies. And in the old days, you know, people didn't have data. There weren't the tools. There weren't the TrackMans, the GC quads, and all these other tools to really figure out what was happening. And that people didn't have all, obviously, so many, like all these thousands of fittings and things like that going on. So people couldn't figure. So people would try things in the past that may or may not work. It was like somebody, engineer, had a hunch, and they would put it in, and maybe it worked, maybe it didn't work. But in this day and age, we can't afford to put something in a club that doesn't work, because we didn't crunch enough numbers. We didn't look at all the facets of the performance. So in the case of the twist face and the driver, we did that homework over the last 3 years. We gathered over 500,000 shots of data to make sure that twist face technology in the driver, you know, was going to work for the vast majority of golfers. Now, for fairways, hybrids, we just didn't have the data really to support putting it in this year. And we looked at it a little bit before that, And obviously, subsequently, since we've launched it on the driver, we looked at it more on the hybrid and the fairy wood.
Right.
And, you know, there's, you know, without kind of revealing what we're going to do going forward, you know, there are some differences between how you hit fairways and how you hit drivers in terms of your impact locations. Obviously, you're hitting a lot of fairways and hybrids off the deck, or, you know, off the fairway, so to speak. And that changes your impact pattern, which changes the results, which changes, the you know, the effectiveness or the type of twist face that's on the club. It also changes based on, you know, head properties, like how much inertia do you have on your head and how much bulge and roll do you need, things like that. So is it possible? Yes, it is possible. And, you know, this will be a little bit of a cliffhanger, but hey, you'll find out soon enough whether or not we decided to put it in there or not.
That's awesome. You know, I'm looking at it right now, actually, yeah. While we're talking to you, I just saw a release from TaylorMade Golf on Twitter, and it's driving accuracy percentage comparing 2017's full year to 2018 year to date. Jason Day is up almost 10%, hitting 10% more fairways, thank you to Twist Face Technology. Justin Rose is up, Dustin Johnson up, John Rahm up, Roy McIlroy, all up year to year, just thanks to the Twist Face Technology. And anybody who's hit an M3 or an M4, I know I've hit drives where I would say, you know, you hit it off the toe, you know it's normally going to hook, but it doesn't hook like it would have before, and that's because of that twist face technology that you said has been in the works for, you have data from 3 years you guys worked on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been, you know, and I think the real work, you know, started then, but, you know, there's probably people who had ideas about it even earlier than that. I wasn't on the Metalwoods team at the time, so I'm not super familiar with going that far back, but I've talked to the engineers who kind of came up with the ideas, who put it through the paces, gathered all the data. I mean, it's a painstaking process, and you know, the tricky part about something like twist face is, you know, golfers are still unique. Golfers still have different swings, and, you know, it's not like you find one swing, the next swing is going to work exactly the same, and everybody presents the club the same way at the ball. So you can get so many data points, and if you don't look at enough data, you're going to get potentially a bad conclusion. You're going to get either you need more twist face, twist face doesn't work, you know, whatever conclusion might be. But when you see enough shots, you know, hey, for the majority of golfers, this is going to be better for finding fairways. And what's nice about this now is now we have these guys on tour who've been out there long enough, played enough rounds where it's, you know, statistically significant versus last year. And to see, you know, somebody like Jason pick up almost 10% fairways in a year, I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean,
yeah.
And we look at the results of those guys and what they've done this year, it's shown up in how, you know, the performance of the golfers too. And, you know, just seeing guys, you know, even outside of these guys, you know, driving the ball extremely well with our drivers. And, you know, without naming any names, there's a lot of guys who are not under contract with us, who, you know, even are under contract with other people who want to play our driver. So, I mean, that's a testament to me that, you know, because our contract guys are always going to play a TaylorMade driver. That,
right. And, I know one guy by name. I don't want to say his name, but I know one person by name who's under contract with rhymes with Balloway, and he was playing his Balloway driver for a while, and now he's gone back to playing a TaylorMade driver, and it's not even the same driver that he played last year. It's the new technology, but he likes it better than what he's getting from his current contract, and that, to me, that says a lot about the quality of the equipment that TaylorMade's putting out.
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely agree with that. I think that, obviously, the technology that we put out, we're proud of it. We think it's class leading. But I also, the one thing I would say as well is the people that we have out on tour, Keith, Todd Hsu, Trotty, the whole crew that's out there, Wade, on the truck building the clubs. I mean, these guys are the best in the business. And I think when it comes to the golfers on tour, when you talk to tour players sort of, you know, over a beer or, you know, off the record, I mean, those are the guys that they trust, you know,
right.
Regardless of sort of where you are, who you're with. If you have a problem with a club in your bag, something isn't working, it doesn't matter what club it is, they love coming to our guys. They love the service that they get. They love the analysis, the interaction, and knowing that we're going to get something for them that works. You know, we're not just randomly trying a bunch of things. These guys are so good. And that's honestly, when you talk to guys like Rory, and, you know, part of the decision of him coming to TaylorMade, was that part of it. He felt so confident that, hey, if I struggle with a club and I don't know how to fix it, TaylorMade will be able to help me out. And I think that's a great asset to have in our back pocket. You know, we work on the product, we do the best product we can, but once it goes out on tour, in large part, it's in their hands to put it in players' hands, and they've been incredibly successful doing that. And that's, you know, I'm super thankful for that, because I know that our clubs will be shown in the best light possible, which is all we can ask for.
Good deal. Tomo, thank you for your time. You know what? If we could get twist face technology all the way up to my putter, where I cannot miss the center of the face ever. Everything's going to go straight.
Hey, I wouldn't hold out in the twist face part of that. That may not happen ever.
No, good deal. Tomo, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Tomo.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
Noah? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy and Wacker.
Bitch.